Bradenton, Florida. Welcome to Indigenous in the News. I'm your host, Larry Kay from the Ho-Chunk Nation, along with Gary Wilcox from the Powhatan Nation. Joining us today is Samuel Flores, National Tribal Relations Manager for Global Medical Response, and Jason Carrizosa, Chief Administration Officer for the Morongo Band of Mission Indians. Together, they work closely with tribal nations to improve emergency medical services, ensuring Indigenous communities have access to life-saving care. Today, we'll discuss the challenges, advancements, and the future of medical response in Indian Country. Welcome to Indigenous in the News. I'm Larry Kay, and joining me is Gary Wilcox. How you doing, Gary?
Just great. How are you doing today, Larry?
I'm doing well, doing well.
We have an exciting show today. We have two guests. Let's get started and welcome them to the show, Sam and Jason. Hello, guys. How are you both doing today?
Hello. I'm good.
How are you guys?
Hi, Sam. Hi, Jason. Good to see you both. Sam, it was a pleasure to see you at Res 2025. That was a good time.
It was, yeah. It was great to meet you. I appreciate you stopping by the booth.
Yeah, and you mentioned you have a good response since then as well, too, huh?
So much that I'm trying to keep my head above water.
Right on. Good deal. Sweet, sweet. That's what we want to hear.
All right. Hey, Sam, so can you tell us the history and how it all started and your role as the National Tribal Relations Manager for Global Medical Response?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started my career back in 2001 as an EMT. I started in Seattle, King County. Worked there for about a year as an EMT, then went to paramedic school, got my paramedic in 2003, practiced for 10 years on a ground ambulance, and then transitioned into the flight part of things and flew as a flight paramedic for about 8 years to about 2021, 22-ish. And then through that whole transition, I got into a business development and operations management. First try at doing the administrative role here at GMR, Global Medical Response, and fell in love with it. I actually enjoyed getting away from the shift work, being woken up in the middle of the night to actually, you know, getting the full 6-7 hours of sleep and then, you know, going into the office. So through that journey, I went into business development, like I mentioned, and over the last 3 years, we've been working closely with the tribes. And today, what we call the Tribal Alliance was developed, and my title as Tribal Relations Manager is something new. It was recently created probably about 2 months ago because of this new initiative that we're trying to build with Global Medical Response and the tribes throughout the country.
Nice, nice.
Nice.
Jason, do you have a flying license as well?
No. So I'm on the ground side.
Okay. How cool.
Yeah, my career started probably in 2009. I was an EMT. I worked a little for AMR on the private side before I got hired by the tribe. You know, we have our own full ALS response fire department here that serves the tribal community, but also the local community. So I was a ground medic for, I just let my license lapse. So about 16 years.
Wow.
Incredible.
Yeah, so in the last few of those years, I was the fire chief for Morongo, and that's kind of where this partnership kind of took off.
Nice.
And tell us about your role now. What do you do now?
So my role now is I'm the chief administrative officer for the band, and you know we're a tribal, a full-on tribal government that provides healthcare, education, public works, facilities management, just everything that a traditional government would provide. Mm-hmm. So I kind of oversee all of that, and one of those programs underneath me right now is the fire department. So I closely work with the fire department to kind of provide, you know, essential services to the community we serve, as well as the local communities too. So we have probably 3 or 4 communities around us that benefit from this overall program on the ground side. On the air side, obviously that reaches much further.
Right.
We're talking about 150 miles. So, But yeah, that's kind of what I do. I oversee a lot of different things on the government side.
Jason, can you share a little bit of an example about the successful partnership initiative that has been between you and GMR and the Tribal Nation?
Yeah, absolutely. This partnership goes back long before the Tribal Alliance of what we have now. Initially, when this partnership started, it was for advanced life support services. So we were one of the last basic life support service providers in the EMS system in East and Riverside County. So when I had approached American Medical Response Leadership, it was to provide that first, we call it, ALS assessment engines, kind of that first response to when a patient calls 911, they're in time of need, the fire department shows up with their engine, a paramedic jumps off, and that kicked off probably around 2011. And then we went to a full launch of paramedic services in around 2014. So this has been a long story, partnership with a great partner, Global Medical Response being kind of at the top.
Awesome.
You know, that's kind of how Sam and I met was, you know, we were kind of working parallel in the same industry. And then at one point it's like, hey, I know you, you're from Morongo, and you know, and that's kind of where it's went.
Yeah.
Right on.
All right.
Jason, how does GMR work with tribal nations and improve emergency response and medical transportation in the indigenous communities?
So I think, you know, right here is the reason I had went back is because they had been such a GMR had been such a good advocate for tribes and for Morongo specifically.
Right.
We during COVID, I think, you know, everything was kind of polarized and exacerbated, you know, with illness kind of running rampant through, you know, all communities, but, you know, tribal communities specifically are usually left at the, you know, they usually don't have representatives at the table. And I went to AMR leadership once again and said, hey, you know, we have extended response times. This is nothing new. Mm-hmm. These response times are getting out of hand because of the demand that was happening on the 911 system and then the hospital system. So I went to him and said, hey, we need to put an ambulance service out here to cut those response times down. And I mean, in the normal response time that we were getting from 911 call to bedside of a patient was around 18 minutes.
Wow.
That's normal, right? And we have a major 10, we have the major 10 freeway corridor that runs through, and we're still zoned as rural. So there's exceptions that happen for these incumbent medical providers, right? Transport services. And one of the things that we talked about was like, hey, if you guys are looking to be real partners, then we really need to have these candid conversations about the reality of what the service is being provided right now to our tribal community. As well as the local community, because they were experiencing the same thing. And I mean, and some, we had a few outliers at the height of COVID that were around 55 minutes.
Wow.
Waiting for 911 transport. And for us, they were open. They said, hey, let's talk about this. Let's put it on paper and see what this looks like. And what we have today is we literally cut that response time in half. We're at around 6 to 9 minutes for advanced life support care. So,
you know, you're speaking my language. I know exactly what you're saying because, you know, I have a little experience in that. I actually did my clinicals and I did some ride time on an ambulance. So I know about response times and stuff. And I can tell you that is unbelievable. You know, you guys are having to work within, in a response time like that, that's got to be from, by the time you get to the patient, you're in critical state.
Yep. Especially you know? When, you know, 911 situations, you know, time is of the essence. So, you know, the relationship has been great. GMR has been great partners, AMR. You know, you know how it is in Indian country. When we bring somebody along, we look at them as family and we treat them in that. What those partnerships are about, it's building that trust and then being, you know, 100% transparent in any of these partnerships we do, especially on the medical side.
What would you say, or Sam, this question. What would you say are some of the biggest challenges that tribal communities face when it comes to medical emergency services and the healthcare access?
Yeah, absolutely. I think just kind of touching on what Jason was saying, you know, with rural communities, those usually have the toughest in terms of access to emergency services and healthcare, right? So one of our things is, you know, the EMS providers being able to staff ambulances, clinics, critical access hospitals. So when we look at difficulties and challenges, it's usually on the staffing side. I think in conjunction with that is also cost. You know, listen, if these services were free, everybody would have it, right? There'd be equal access everywhere. But unfortunately, that's not the way it works. So we're really working with the tribes and even on our own to find ways that we could, one, you know, cut down costs, really make this affordable to the patient, understanding that, you know, that there's a patient responsibility and we don't want to add insult to injury when it comes to, you know, billing. And so we look at all those things when we go into these communities. I would also say that the tribes vary in infrastructure, so there's not a lot of standardized ways to generate revenue or create a subsidized healthcare program, such as around EMS system, fire departments, health clinics. So I think with a partnership in Indian Country, we can use our expertise as EMS providers. We are the largest, as I said, air and ground provider in the United States. So we're able to pass through some of our cost savings when it comes to purchasing equipment, supplies, things that the tribes can take advantage of and look at when they think about going into a partnership, what is the value add? And so those are things that we all take into account. And I think right there, that kind of sets the stage for more conversation. So although challenges, we're looking at ways of mitigating them.
Nice, nice. Sam, can you share a story with us that had a learning impact with the company?
Yeah, so I'll give you a positive impact.
Yeah.
So Res 2025 was a great example of that. You know, when we first launched this whole Tribal Alliance initiative that Jason's been referring to, which is basically a first of its kind in the nation between GMR and Morongo Band of Mission Indians, the first public-private partnership. We weren't sure if this was just a one and done deal or if we could take the same model and scale it, right, and customize it to other tribes. So because of the positive responses we received from tribal communities, we've had to augment our strategic plan to ensure some responsible growth and adequate delivery of services. As an example, we explored more tribal partnerships in Southern California, San Diego County, Riverside County, and we realized how close some of these tribes really are to one another. So we had to be creative in our strategy so that we wouldn't duplicate services and that we wouldn't, what we use as a term, cannibalize what we're doing in one area to subsidize the other. So we don't want to steal from Paul to pay Peter, right? Or however that saying goes. So we have to be really smart in our growth as well. And that way we don't want to overpromise and underdeliver to the tribes too, right? We don't want to go somewhere and operate, you know, for X amount of time, be like, oh, it just didn't work out. So there's a lot of due diligence and planning that goes into each of these things. And so that's been a learning experience. And one of the metaphors I've heard, and it makes a lot of sense, is we are flying the plane as we're building it. And that's what is true with this Tribal Alliance. We are learning the do's and don'ts as we start to grow.
Awesome. Jason, many of our tribal communities are in remote areas. How does GMR ensure timely air and ground transportation service to these regions in emergency situations?
It's through their network and how they model it out, right? Like for Morocco, we have a community-based model. And what that, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's for the community. So they zone these communities out in terms of, you know, urban, rural, and then rural. Okay. And each one of those have to have a certain amount of time for them to get to the patient. And those that, you know, reasonably, we try to, if we're going to ground transport somebody, we try to do it within 30 minutes to an hour, and the hour is pushing it. Anything over 30 minutes in our area is, you know, the medics on the ground, the boots on the ground know to have that in the back of their mind to activate an airship. Mm-hmm. So their strong network is what it is how they're able to provide that service efficiently. And that's kind of like what the essence of the Tribal Alliance is once we start getting more tribes within that alliance, mm-hmm. they'll be a part of that network like Morongo is right now, right?
Okay.
If our airship is out, it gets backfilled and supplemented by another airship. And the same goes for the ground ambulance.
I just have a second part of this question, another for that original question. And so do you ever find yourself having to support other tribal regions as well, airship wise? Sometimes I know, like, you know, like my tribe borders another tribe, so mm-hmm. sometimes we have to support them as well.
Yeah. So the airship, you know, like there's no, pretty much no time limit on that. It's by 150, I think it's air nautical miles. And don't beat me up, Sam, if I'm butchering that. But the other day, I think it was last week, you know, Morongo is a self-pay insurer, you know, for healthcare. And a lot of other tribes are in Southern California because we're so big, right? And to the south of us is we have Saboba, and we just transported one of their citizens the other day. And that's kind of like what we're looking at, you know, whole, to be able to provide that service.
That's amazing. That is truly amazing.
Today, our guest is Global Medical Response with Samuel Flores, the National Tribal Relations Manager, and Jason Carrizosa, Chief Administrative Officer for the Morongo Band of Mission Indians. Together, they collaborate with tribal nations to enhance emergency medical services, ensuring timely and equitable care. To learn more, contact them directly at samuel.flores@gmr.net. or visit them on the web at globalmedicalresponse.com. Sam, what are some of the key factors that go into establishing medical response programs in the tribal communities?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a pretty dynamic question. So there is a lot into it, but if I were to categorize it in four steps, I would look at it like this. First, we would conduct a needs analysis, right? Mm-hmm. Is there a need in the area with the tribe? What are their desires? And then we would develop a service delivery model that is, one, cost-effective for both parties involved, and that it's long-term sustainable. So that would be the first step.
Okay.
Second step, we would explore potential funding sources, the tribe's current infrastructure to help us identify project needs. The third step, I think we would look at the staffing needs. We would then see, you know, what does the tribe have in terms of the professionals? If they have an existing EMS or fire system, how many can transition to this new project that we're working on together? If not, I know GMR has a variety of EMT and paramedic schools throughout the nation. So we build our own pipeline of medical professionals. So we would pull EMTs, paramedics, and even critical care nurses, pilots, mechanics, whatever we need, right? That'd be the third phase. And then the last phase is the implementation phase. So once we have all that lined up, we would, you know, implement it. And then we improvise, because if I've learned one thing in EMS is things are always changing and evolving. Mm-hmm. It's important to be flexible and to improvise. And so that's kind of it in a nutshell, and probably is as simplistic as I could get it down to.
Sure.
All right. Sam, so are there any specific disaster preparedness programs that GMR offers for the tribal governments and their first responders?
Yeah, so Global Medical Response remains, you know, dedicated in our mission to providing care to the world at a moment's notice. We also are cognizant of cultural, social, religious practices that are unique to the tribes. Mm-hmm. Through our tribal relations efforts, we hope to identify specific programs and practices that we can implement that would enhance tribal communities' disaster preparedness and accommodate the needs of each community. And that's kind of what we're doing now, right? As I mentioned previously, you know, we're building it, the plane as we're flying it. And so we're looking at these opportunities to enhance these emergency management preparedness programs, and then also work together so that they're very specific to the tribe's needs and not so much specific to GMR's needs. So we're mapping that out as we go.
Okay. All right. I like that, man.
Yes, awesome. Yes.
So, Jason, how does GMR collaborate with tribal health departments and Indian Health Services, commonly known as IHS, to coordinate patient care and transport? How do they work together?
So, if we're strictly, you know, specifically talking about 911 response, in Riverside County, our IHS, our facility is obviously it's on res, but since it's within Riverside County, that 911 service, you know, they go there and service that if there's a call that comes out of there. But in terms of like the rural communities, and Sam and I have been talking about how to better provide, it would be through interfacility transport and help tribes leverage their 638 funding and to see what that looks like for them, and then to give them that preferred provider, you know, agreements and things like that, to where they're getting better rates than probably what they're paying right now. You know, that's just an assumption on my part, because I've seen it within my own reservation before we had this partnership. So it's, you know, tribes are able to govern that themselves to where they could see what that true cost is. And it's partnerships like that are like what we have right here is going to help us leverage that.
Does the IHS red tape ever get in the way?
No, not really. It's, you know, each tribe usually has a committee, and then we do our best to try to leverage that, right? It's, we're going out for competitive bids to look at those things. So that's really what we're looking at right now, is exploring that. But in terms of 911 response, it's, they're part of the system, so they get service no matter what.
No matter what, right. Yeah. Awesome. Sam, so what advice would you give some of our Indigenous youth today if they were interested in pursuing careers in the EMS, via be, you know, air transport, medical transport, or healthcare?
Yeah. First thing, it's never too late. I feel like our youth feel like they, you know, missed the bus on an opportunity, and so they just, you know, throw their hands up and move on. But it's never too late to get an education. It's never too late to move into a new field. You know, from experience, I know paramedics that became paramedics in their 40s, and probably to an 18-year-old, that seems ancient, right? So that just goes to show that age doesn't matter when it comes to this type of service. There are many people at different age groups that emerge into the healthcare industry at different levels. The other thing I would tell them is education is key, right? You can't.
Yes.
In order to even become an EMT, you have to have a high school diploma or GED, right? So that is the bare minimum. My thing, and I mentioned this earlier, is higher education. If you want to move throughout, when you're a young paramedic, all the excitement, the lights and sirens, the flying in helicopters, that's exciting, and it doesn't seem like it'll ever get old. But when you get old, you realize this is kind of a lot of work, right? It's hard on the body and the health. And that's what the degree and go, you know what, I'm ready to get into management. I've done everything young. I have my bachelor's degree. It's time to move out and try something a little more low key. So that's what I would tell our youth is it's never too late. Get your education. And if everything aligns, get that bachelor's degree at a minimum.
Yes.
And get involved wherever you can. So, yeah.
Right on. Jason, what are some of GMR's future goals when it comes to strengthening partnerships with the tribal nations?
Well, so again, it's more about the tribal alliance, right? I think what our goals are for the tribal alliance is to provide essential health care to the rural communities specifically, and to help them leverage some of their government status to help supplement these programs. Because, you know, as we talked about, these programs can be pricey, but when we do it right, they could help provide, you know, life-saving healthcare and things like that. But I think, you know, and it's also to help them understand or to show them that they have a voice at the table, a seat at the table.
Right.
And what, you know, they need to be heard. They are stakeholders in this environment, and they just need to know that they will always have a voice at the table. And that's what we're here to help them with.
Sam, so how can tribal leaders and community leaders get in touch with you or GMR to learn more about the available services and programs that GMR offers?
Absolutely. I invite anybody and everybody who's interested in learning more about the Alliance or about Global Medical Response or our partnerships in Indian country to email me directly. That's at Samuel, S-A-M-U-E-L dot Flores, F-L-O-R-E-S, at GMR.net. And then they can always visit our website at globalmedicalresponse.com.
Right on.
Awesome.
Sam, Jason, thank you both for stopping by today. I learned a lot. Stay in touch with us and have yourself a great week. It's been a pleasure to have you both on.
Likewise. Thank you.
It was great having you both. I learned a lot. I love the partnership that both of you bring to the table. I think you serve the indigenous community very well with that, and I wish you the best and many blessings.
Yes.
Thank you, Gary.
Guys, you do great jobs. Keep up the great work for our communities.
Absolutely. You know.
Thank you for tuning in to Indigenous in the News and supporting us and our entrepreneurs. Indigenous in the News has been produced by Larry Kay. Our engineer is Paul Salvatore. Our theme music is composed by Lenny Long. Today's show has been recorded at the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida. Come visit us at indigenousinthenews.org to hear all of our past shows and learn all about the great programs that we provide at our nonprofit. Until next time, from all of us here at Indigenous in the News, have yourself a great week and safe journeys. Music today was from Latin Vibe. Indigenous in the News is a production of Indigenous in Music and Arts.
Hello, and you are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio. Support for this program comes from KFAI listener members and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Programming on KFAI is made possible in part through grants in the state of Minnesota and listeners just like you. Es la una con 58 minutos. It's 1:58, and bienvenidos a Corazón Latino. Oh.
Desde que yo te conocí